Robbie Buck with you today, filling in for Natasha Mitchell. She's off enjoying herself for a few weeks. I'm in the chair just for that period of time. Great to have your company wherever you're listening across Australia, or indeed via the World Wide Web. And speaking of the world, if you're a fan of author Douglas Adams, you'll know that there is a cafe at the end of the universe. Well, in a science fiction anyway. But right now, we're going to take you to the cafe at the top of the Earth. We're heading to the edge of the Arctic Circle, where New Zealanders Christina Bartlett and her husband Jesse have just opened a cafe in the town of Norman Wells. If the thought of delicacies like double chocolate chili brownie cookies, hummingbird cakes, or wheat berry stuffed pumpkins make your mouth water, or you fancy a moose burrito, then hop to it. But be prepared for a very long trip. The only way to get there is by plane. There are no roads, and the nearest town is a half-hour flight away. But there are phones, and I have Christina on the line right now. Good morning to you, Christina.
Hi there, good morning.
So just paint a picture of exactly where you are. If you're looking out your window, what do you see?
All right, on my left I've got a river, the Great Mackenzie River, which flows northwest towards the Arctic. On my right I have massive ranges. We've got Mount Hammer, which is a couple of hours walk up to the top. And it is mighty hot right now, not a dot of snow to be seen.
When you say hot, what temperature are we talking about in Celsius?
We've had 37 the last couple of days, 35, 37. Right now it's about 22. It's a much colder day, which is very refreshing.
Yeah, I'll bet. I didn't realise it got that hot, that far north.
No, neither did I. In fact, we just got our summer gear behind because we thought it was always snow, minus 40.
So just for people who are looking at the map, whereabouts on the map is it?
Yeah, so we're about halfway out the Northwest Territories. Now, that's one of the top territories above the main ones in the middle of Canada.
And it's a long way from anybody else?
Yes, it is. About an hour flight to get to Yellowknife, which is probably the closest city. It's an hour north to get to Inuvik, which would be, about an hour and a half north to the next closest city. As you've mentioned already, no roads, so it's all by flight.
Yeah, and how many people are in the town with you?
About 900. It appears to be growing, but that's what it is at the moment.
And what's the demographic like? Why do people end up in Norman Wells?
It's a working town. Most people have come for the oil industry. Esso is huge here, Imperial Oil, doing lots of drilling. And so all these other companies are set up just to support that. So there's government workers, there's airlines, and then, of course, there's smaller ones like restaurants and healthcare.
Mm. Of course, one aspect of being so far north is the daylight and the night time, depending on which time of the year, are fairly extreme. What's the daylight hours like for you at the moment?
Oh, right now, 24-hour sunlight.
Wow. How do you deal with that?
Yeah. It drives us insane, really. They say that you get pretty mentally sick from the daylight. There's a couple of funny stories with that. I mean, I've got a friend who had a sleep after he got home from work, and he woke up at 10 o'clock, his clock read, and he ran around frantic thinking he was late for work. You really can't tell the difference between 10 o'clock at night and 10 o'clock in the morning.
And so what sort of effect does that have on you, psychologically, being in that sort of space?
I think the biggest thing is it's tiring. You feel physically exhausted because you feel like you should always be on the go. You know, nighttime signifies rest. We don't get that.
And how do you introduce nighttime into your life then? I take it there are ways of trying to trick your body.
Yeah. We take our windows, we cover our windows by keeping the blinds down. But there have been instances that we've been so desperate, we have put the fans on full, we've put a fireplace playing on YouTube and had some rain music and pretended we're in New Zealand in winter.
How did you end up there in the first place? It's a long, long way from New Zealand.
It is a very long way. Gosh, we wanted to do an OE, like all New Zealanders and Australians. My husband happens to be a Canadian citizen by birth, but has never been, so he thought he'd get his passport. He's also a pilot, wanted to fly in the north, so we thought, heck, let's go to Canada. Let's not stop and dance like most Kiwis do, and let's keep going north.
And here you are. So you get there, you don't want to work in the oil industry, you decide that you're going to open a cafe. It's a fairly ambitious project.
It is. Sure is.
Tell us about your cafe.
Right. Well, I started working in an office here. I was working in an airline for about a year, and it just wasn't really my thing. But I found myself complaining all the time. There was nowhere to go for coffee or something nice to eat. It was just diners with, you know, burgers and fries. And I heard of a charity in town that wanted to set up a cafe to support the charity. And they approached me and said, look, we like your food. We've seen your blog. Will you cook for us? So I took it on wholeheartedly, and it's so far, so good.
The challenges of providing fresh and innovative food in the Arctic Circle when it's an hour's plane ride from the nearest suppliers, I take it that's reasonably challenging.
Oh, it's frustrating. It is frustrating.
And what do you do? How do you go about it?
The time between placing an order and getting food is up to a week. So what happens is I'll place an order with a company in Yellowknife, which is the city in our south, Flights, and someone will do my shopping for me there. They'll put it on an aeroplane, and if it doesn't get bumped, I get it in a couple of days. Hoping that most of it's still fresh.
So take us through a couple of the recipes. I would imagine it's pretty hard for you to get absolutely fresh food into what you're serving in the cafe.
It is, and it's some of the hardest things to keep fresh or get fresh is like bread. So I make all my bread myself. I'm the only place in town that that does, and that solves the problem of fresh bread. Things like lettuce and mixed greens, I kind of just stay away from them because they have no nutritional value and the chance of getting good stuff is pretty low. So I work a lot with things that store in the cupboards, so grains that have nutritional value and dried beans, tinned tomatoes, all sorts of things that can still be incredibly nutritious without going cold.
Do you crave fresh fruit and salads?
Absolutely. The first thing we do when we go to a city is go and get some fruit and veggies from the market.
If you've just joined me this morning, you're listening to Life Matters here on RN. And we're taking you to the Arctic Circle, essentially, the top of Canada, speaking with Christina Bartlett, who, with her husband, they're two New Zealanders who have relocated to a tiny little spot called Norman Wells, less than 1,000 people who live there, running a cafe called Soma. You're also dishing up a fairly well-known local identity on one of the plates, the moose.
Oh, yes. Now, I don't actually serve it at my cafe, but me and my husband eat that a lot.
Right. Okay. What about growing your own? Obviously, growing in those sorts of conditions is going to be fairly tough, but you give it a go?
I do. Some things grow and most things don't. The soil here is horrible. It's full of oil, and most plants, believe it or not, need darkness, and that's when they do their growing. So there are lots of things that just won't work here. I've never had broccoli grow. Apparently that needs darkness. But I give it a go and we get some good fresh herbs at least.
And Christina, what are some of the dishes that you're most fond of or have been best received in Norman Wells?
Ooh, I think the biggest thing is making things fresh. So the fresh bread has been very popular, making fresh bagels. Some of the more nutritious desserts I do, like some cookies that have kidney beans in them. They provide a lot of energy and fibre, and they've gone down really well. People take them on their big hunting trips and they go looking for caribou. Someone will order 20 to take with them. People seem to like a different approach to food rather than the usual diner-style food.
Speaking of which, one would think that ice cream wouldn't be a huge item on a menu in that part of the world, but you have your own style of making ice cream.
That's right. Only in winter, though.
Only in winter. Take us through that. What do you do?
Yeah, okay. So it gets to about we can get up to minus 45 in winter, and leaving a pot of milk and like a custard, you know, an unfrozen ice cream out on the deck, you'll have ice cream within 3 or 4 hours. So what we do is sit and stir it and enjoy beautiful ice cream. Unfortunately, you don't really feel like ice cream when it's negative 45.
You're in summer at the moment and you were saying that it was very hot, which is a surprise to us. But take us through what it's like to be that far north in wintertime.
God, it's hard to remember it now that it's so hot. Everything is slow. Everything takes time. Leaving the house involves putting on so many layers, putting on face masks, putting on triple socks and boots, and the key item, the Canada Goose parka. The biggest mistake you can do is putting your parka on before you do anything else, because you'll be a sweaty mess before you leave the house. And then it's a long trudge to work, trudging through the snow because the car is not going to make it. And it can be snow up to the knees, and it's, oh gosh, the eyelashes freeze closed.
Wow.
It's a very unusual experience.
And what about the social aspects of it? In winter, when you're feeling that darkness all around you, and it's almost 24 hours a day, you get, what, 1 or 2 hours sunshine during the day. What's the mental response in that sort of environment for you?
I think most people realize how much we need it. So we put in the effort to get together. Very few people have family here, so we do depend on one another. We have a group of about 8 of us who get together once a week, just during the week, just to hang out, to have coffee, do a bit of a study together. And it just gets us out of the house. It gets us talking, sharing our feelings about being so cold and so lonely and homesick. I think that is the thing that got us through the winter, definitely our friendships.
Christina, it's a fairly extreme lifestyle that you're living. How long do you think you'll stay there with your partner?
That's a tricky one. When we came here, we said 5 years. We were so shocked by the winter. We said, let's just do 1 year and see how it goes. Now, it's been almost 2 years. And we've been, about 18 months. It's about 18 months. And we reckon 2 years would be a pretty good, solid effort from us. We'd be pretty happy to get back to New Zealand sometime.
All right. Well, look, if people do want to join you, not physically, because that may be asking a bit much, but at least via the wonders of technology, then you have a Facebook page, of course, that people can enjoy some of the recipes, that, and you change that fairly regularly, don't you?
That's right. I'll update my recipes and put photos on, and it's Soma Cafe Norman Wells.
All right, I'm sure there's not too many Soma Cafe Norman Wells to be found on the internet. Lovely to chat with you, Christina. Good luck with the rest of summer and, of course, with the oncoming winter as well. Thanks for chatting to us here on Life Matters.
Thanks a lot. My pleasure. Catch you later.
Christina Bartlett there, who runs the Soma Cafe in Norman Wells. It's an hour's flight to the nearest city. No roads leading in nor out. And as you've heard, a close-knit but fairly extreme little community as well. Coming up next, your Monday Modern Dilemma.